or washable cotton pads. Collect the drips. If you leak between feeds or when you're nursing from the other side, you can wear Melt Collection breast shells in your bra. Don't wear them for more than a few hours without letting your breasts air out. Don't wet the bed. If you find you leak a lot at night, line your bra with extra nursing pads before going to bed, or place a large towel under you while you sleep, or a waterproof pad or mattress cover. The last thing you'll be wanting to do now is changing your sheets every day, or worse, shopping for a new mattress. Opt for prints, especially dark ones. You'll soon figure out that these clothes camouflage the milk stains best. And as if you're looking for another reason to wear washable clothes when there's a newborn around, leaking should seal it. Don't pump to prevent leaking. Not only will extra pumping not contain the leak, it'll encourage more of the same. After all, the more your breasts are stimulated, the more milk they produce. Apply pressure. When nursing is well established and your milk production has leveled off, but not before, you can try to stem an impending leak by pressing on your nipples. Probably not a good idea in public. Or folding your arms tightly against your breasts. Don't do this often in the first few weeks, however, because it may inhibit milk letdown and can lead to a clogged milk duct. Not leaking at all, or leaking just a little, that can be just as normal. In fact, if you're a second-time mom, you might notice that your breasts leak less than they did the first time. Just chalk it up to breast experience. Cluster feedings.
My 2-week-old baby had been nursing pretty regularly, every 2 to 3 hours. But all of a sudden, he's demanding to be fed every hour. Does that mean he's not getting enough?
Sounds like you have a hungry boy on your hands and at your breasts. He might be going through a growth spurt, most common at 3 weeks and again at 6. Or he might just need more milk to keep him satisfied. Either way, what he's doing to make sure he gets that milk is called cluster feeding. His instincts tell him that nursing for 20 minutes every hour is a more efficient way of coaxing your breasts to produce the extra milk he needs than nursing for 30 minutes every 2 to 3 hours. And so he treats you like a snack bar rather than a restaurant. No sooner does he happily finish a meal than he's rooting around again, looking for something to eat. Put him to the breast again, and he'll do another feed. These marathon sessions are definitely draining for you, not only literally, but physically and emotionally. Fortunately, cluster feeds usually last only a day or two. Once your milk supply catches up with your growing baby's demand, he's likely to return to a more consistent and civilized pattern. In the meantime, bring on the feed as often as your little bottomless pit seems to want it. Sore nipples.
Breastfeeding my baby is something I've always wanted to do, but my nipples have become so painfully sore, I'm not sure I can continue nursing her.
Ready for breastfeeding to become the pleasure you always thought it would be, instead of the pain you never expected? Of course you are. So are your poor, sore nipples. Fortunately, most moms find their nipples toughen up quickly, usually within the first couple of weeks of nursing. Some, however, especially those who have a barracuda baby, one who has a very vigorous suck, suffer longer or harder. And if that's what you're up against, the soreness, cracking, and even bleeding may have you dreading feeds instead of looking forward to them. To find some relief while your nipples adjust to the demands of nursing life, and they will, try these tips. Be sure your baby is correctly positioned, facing your breast with the areola, not just the nipple, in her mouth with a deep latch when nursing. Not only will her sucking on the nipple alone leave you sore, but it will leave her frustrated, since she won't get much milk. If engorgement makes it difficult for her to grasp the areola, express a little milk manually or with a breast pump before nursing to reduce the engorgement and make it easier for her to get a good grip. Vary your nursing position so a different part of the nipple would be compressed at each feeding, but always keep baby facing your breasts. Try not to favor one breast because it's less sore or because the nipple isn't cracked. Try to use both breasts at every feeding, but nurse from the less sore one first, since baby will suck more vigorously when she's hungry. If both nipples are equally sore or not sore at all, start off the feeding with the breasts you used last and didn't drain thoroughly. Expose sore or cracked nipples to the air briefly after each feeding. Between feedings, you can protect your nipples from clothing and keep them surrounded with air by wearing soft, ventilated breast shells designed for sore nipples. Change nursing pads often so leaking milk doesn't keep them wet and prone to irritation. Also, make sure the nursing pads don't have a plastic liner, which will trap more moisture and cause more irritation. If your nipples are extremely sore, consider surrounding them with a cushion of air by wearing breast shells, not shields. A little dry heat will help if you live in a humid climate. Wave a blow dryer set on warm across your breast, about 6 to 8 inches away, for no more than 2 or 3 minutes. In a dry climate, moisture from your own milk will be more helpful, so after feedings, leave any residue to dry on your nipples. Or express a few drops of milk, often the best medicine, at the end of a feeding, and rub it on your nipples. Just make sure they're dry before putting your bra back on. Wash your nipples only with water, whether they're sore or not. Never use soap, alcohol, or hand sanitizer. Your baby is already protected from your germs, and the milk itself is clean. Apply natural lanolin, such as Lanoso, on your nipples as needed after nursing to prevent and/or heal cracking. You'll probably need to do this only when you're feeling sore, since nipples are naturally protected and lubricated by sweat glands and skin oils. Avoid petroleum-based products and petroleum jelly itself, Vaseline, and other oily products. Wet regular tea bags with cool water and place them on your sore nipples. The properties in the tea will help to soothe and heal them. Relax for 15 minutes or so before feedings. Relaxation will enhance the letdown of milk, which will mean that baby won't have to suck as hard and you'll have less pain, while stress may suppress it. If the pain is severe, ask your practitioner about taking an over-the-counter pain medication to relieve it. Sometimes germs can enter a milk duct through a crack in the nipple, so if your nipples are cracked, be especially alert to signs of breast infection. Nipple pain can also be the result of a yeast infection.
Inverted nipples. If you have inverted nipples, your nipples retract into the breast tissue instead of sticking out when you're cold or when you compress your breast with your fingers at the edge of the areola, don't worry. Once breastfeeding is initiated, most inverted nipples do their job as well as the standard issue variety. You can help draw out your nipples before a feeding by pumping just a little. Don't pump too much. The idea isn't to get milk, but rather to draw out the nipples. Or you can try a suction device, like Latch Assist, to help draw out the nipples right before a feed. Between feeds, try breast shells, designed for inverted or flat nipples, hollow, ventilated discs that gradually draw out nipples with painless pressure while preventing soreness. Bumps on the road to success? Chances are you had breastfeeding support in the hospital or birthing center just after delivery, helping you through that first feed or two. Maybe you were even lucky enough to have a lactation consultant on call during your whole stay, just a call button away. Only problem is, most breastfeeding problems don't crop up until a week or two postpartum, long after mom's checked out, leaving that call button and that support behind. There are lots of unexpected bumps new moms can encounter on the road to breastfeeding success, from seriously sore nipples to latching on issues, but most of them can be smoothed out in no time with a little professional help. So before breastfeeding problems have you wondering whether it's the end of the nursing road for you and baby, call for help. And don't wait either for a little problem, say with positioning, to develop into a big one, like baby not getting enough to eat. Whether it's a session with a La Leche League volunteer by phone, an in-home visit or two from a lactation consultant, or advice from a breastfeeding specialist at the pediatrician's office, it's likely to level those bumps and get you and your baby back on track quickly.
Time spent breastfeeding. I really feel like the baby is attached to my breasts these days. And as much as I'm starting to like breastfeeding him, I'm also feeling like there's no time to do anything else.
Breastfeeding a newborn can feel like a full-time job. Make that a full-time job with double overtime. Immensely satisfying once you've gotten the hang of it, but all-consuming, as in your baby is consuming all you've got, all the time. Will you and your breasts ever catch a break? Absolutely. As your baby becomes more efficient at his job of feeding, you'll be able to spend less time at your job of feeding him. The number of feeds and the length of each feed will become more manageable, and you'll stop feeling like you're serving milk 24/7. By the time your baby's sleeping through the night, you'll probably be down to 5 or 6 feedings, taking a reasonable total of only 3 or 4 hours out of your day. Meanwhile, since you can't catch much of a break, use those many hours of breastfeeding to catch some rest and relaxation and your breath while capturing some of the most special time you'll ever spend with your little one. Chances are when your baby's nursing days are over, you'll look back and think about how much you miss those many hours of breastfeeding and how easy it was compared with feeding a picky toddler. Mom falling asleep while nursing.
I'm so tired these days, and sometimes I just can't keep my eyes open anymore when feeding my baby. Is it okay for me to fall asleep while nursing?
Breastfeeding babies are sleepy babies, but guess what? So are breastfeeding mommies. That's because the same hormones that relax your baby during a nursing session, oxytocin and prolactin, relax you too. That feel-good, hormone-induced stupor, especially when combined with the physical and emotional challenges and demands of being a new mom, topped off with that inevitable life with a new baby sleep deprivation, can definitely lead you to nod off mid-nursing. Being cozily cuddled by a warm little bundle of sweet-smelling baby can have a lulling effect too. And if you're nursing lying down or lying back, well, it's a pretty sure bet you'll doze off at least some of the time. Here's the good news. It's okay to nap while nursing. Just make sure you don't start out breastfeeding sessions in precarious positions. You should both be comfortably supported. Or while holding a hot beverage, something you shouldn't do with a baby in your lap anyway. Keep in mind, too, that you'll likely wake as easily as you nod off, since new moms tend to sleep very lightly next to their little ones, probably nature's way of keeping your mommy radar on high alert. Chances are that as your baby becomes more alert at the breast, so will you.
Breast milk. It's not just for breakfast anymore. Clearly, breast milk is nature's wonder food. But did you know it can also be the best medicine? Sure, each mama's milk is tailor-made for her baby's nutritional needs, but there are plenty of other much-touted, if not clinically proven, off-label uses for breast milk. You've already learned that it can help heal sore nipples, but there may be plenty more healing magic in that milk of yours. Baby's got a clogged tear duct? Drip some drops of breast milk into the corner of baby's eye to possibly help speed healing. Baby's got cradle cap? Rub some of that super fluid onto his scalp. Your cutie's face is filled with pimples? Breast milk can help with that too. Consider it baby's first zit cream. Thanks to breast milk's antimicrobial properties, mama's milk can also help with nasal congestion, Squeeze a few drops into baby's nose to loosen congestion, diaper rash, eczema, and other rashes, and mosquito bites, to name a few more. Best of all, breast milk is free and always on hand. No rummaging through medicine cabinets at 3 a.m. or mad dashes to the drugstore.
What to wear?
When I was pregnant, I couldn't wait to get back into my regular clothes. But I didn't realize how much breastfeeding my daughter would limit what I can wear.
Dressing for breastfeeding success probably isn't as tricky as dressing when you're expecting. At least once you've settled back into jeans, you can actually zip up. But it still presents some unique challenges. Say, how to feed your baby in public without stripping from the waist up, or how to keep a last-minute leak under wraps when you're about to walk into a job interview. Sure, you'll have to make some fashion concessions in the name of easy breast access and other practical considerations. But with a few adjustments, you'll be able to satisfy your baby's appetite for milk and your appetite for style with the very same outfits. The right bra. Not surprisingly, the most important item in your breastfeeding wardrobe is the one very few will ever see. A good nursing bra, or more likely, several. Ideally, you should purchase at least one nursing bra before your baby is born, so that you'll be able to use it right away in the hospital. But some moms find breast size expands so much once their milk comes in that stocking up ahead isn't cost-effective, though some clever designs are expandable. There are many different styles of nursing bras available. With or without underwire, no nonsense and no frills, or lacy, with cups that unsnap, unzip, unhook on the shoulders, or in the center of the bra, or those that just pull to the side, as well as bras designed for hands-free pumping. Try on a variety, making your decision with comfort and convenience as top priorities, and keeping in mind that you'll be unhooking the bra with one hand while holding a crying, hungry baby in the other. Whichever style you choose, make sure the bra is made of strong, breathable cotton and that it has room to grow as your breasts do. For the clearest indication, try on bras when your breasts are full, not recently drained. A too tight bra can cause clogged ducts, not to mention discomfort when breasts are engorged and nipples are sore. Another option, turn any bra that fits well into a nursing bra. You can find how-tos online or have alterations done for you. Two-piece outfits. Two-piece is the fashion statement to make when you're breastfeeding, especially when you can pull up the top of the outfit for nursing access. Shirts or dresses that button or zip down the front can also work, though you may be exposing more than you'd like in public if you need to unzip from the top for baby to reach her target. So unfastening from the bottom is usually a better bet. You might also want to look for nursing dresses and tops that are designed with hidden flaps to facilitate discreet nursing and easy access for pumping. Such nursing wear is also designed to fit a nursing mom's larger bust, a big plus. Stay away from solids if you're a leaker. Solid colors, whites, and anything sheer will spill your milky secrets more obviously than dark patterns, which will not only provide better cover for your leaks, but also the lumpiness of your breast pads. Wear washables. Between leaking milk and baby spit up, your local dry cleaner will be as happy as you are that there's a new baby in your house, unless you wear clothes you can toss in the washer and dryer. And after a few incidents involving your good silk blouses, chances are that washables will be all you're wearing. Pad your bra. A breastfeeding mom's most important accessory is the nursing pad. No matter what else you're wearing, always tuck one or two inside your bra. Nursing in public.
I'm planning to breastfeed my baby for at least 6 months. And I know I can't stay in my house all the time, but I'm not so sure about nursing in public.
Breasts are celebrated on screen, magazine covers, billboards, and beaches. But ironically, they can still be a tough sell when they're being used to feed a baby in public. While public nursing is widely accepted and protected by law, too, it still seems to attract a lot more attention than bottle feeding. And unfortunately, and unfairly, not always the, aw, so sweet kind of attention. Chances are you'll quickly hang up any hang-ups you might have about feeding your baby in public, especially once you realize that hungry babies wait for no mom, at least not happily. Plus, with a little practice, and you'll probably have a lot of practice pretty fast, you'll learn how to breastfeed so discreetly in a crowd that only you and your little diner will know she's having lunch. In the meantime, here are some tips to make public breastfeeding more private. Dress the part. With the right outfit, you can breastfeed your baby without exposing even an inch of skin. Unbutton your blouse from the bottom or lift your shirt up slightly. Your baby's head will cover any part of your breasts that may be exposed. Try this at home first. Practice in front of a mirror and you'll see how a little strategic positioning can provide a lot of coverage. Or enlist your spouse or a friend to watch you as you feed the baby the first few times in public to alert you to any wardrobe malfunctions. Drape a blanket, shawl, or nursing cover, aka hooter hider, over your shoulder to tent your baby. To make sure she has room for easy feeding and also easy breathing and doesn't get overheated, be sure her tent is well ventilated. When you and baby are eating out together, a large napkin can provide cover. Wear your baby to lunch, or to the movies, or the mall, or for a stroll through the park. A sling makes breastfeeding in public extremely discreet. People will think she's just snoozing in her sling. And incredibly convenient. Create your own privacy zone. Find a bench under a tree, pick a corner with a roomy chair in a bookstore, or sit in a booth in a restaurant. Turn away from people while your baby is latching on, and turn back once baby is well positioned at your breast. Look for special accommodations. Many large stores, shopping malls, airports, and even amusement parks have rooms set aside for nursing mothers, complete with comfortable chairs and changing pads. Or seek out a bathroom with a separate lounge area for your baby's dining pleasure. If none of these are options where you'll be going and you prefer to nurse without a crowd, feed baby in your parked car before heading out to your destination, temperature permitting. Feed before the frenzy. Don't wait until your baby becomes frantic with hunger to start nursing her. A screaming, flailing baby only attracts the attention you probably aren't looking for when you're nursing in public. Instead, watch for your baby's hunger cues, and whenever possible, preempt crying with a meal. Know your rights and feel good about exercising them. Legislation in all 50 states gives women the right to breastfeed in public, stating that exposing a breast to nurse is not indecent and is not a criminal offense. In 1999, a federal law was enacted to ensure a woman's right to nurse anywhere on federal property. Even if you're in a state that doesn't have such legislation yet, you still have every right to feed your baby when she is hungry. Breastfeeding is not illegal anywhere, except in a moving car, where even a hungry baby must be secured in a child safety seat. Do what comes naturally. If feeding your baby in public feels right, go ahead and do it. If it doesn't, even after some practice, opt for privacy whenever you can. Tandem nursing.
I've been nursing my toddler throughout my entire pregnancy, and I'm not ready to wean him yet. Can I continue to nurse him once my baby girl is born and I start nursing her? Will I have enough milk for both?
Tandem nursing, as it's known in breastfeeding speak, is a way for a mom who has breastfed throughout her pregnancy to continue meeting the needs of her older nursing child while also meeting the demands of a newborn breastfeeder. It's not always easy for mama, especially during the early weeks when challenges abound, such as figuring out how to juggle two hungry babies with their own nursing needs and styles. But once you get the hang of it, with a lot of dedication on your end and support and encouragement from those around you, it can be, and usually is, extremely enjoyable and fulfilling for the threesome, mom, newborn, and tot. An added bonus, most moms who tandem nurse find it brings the new siblings closer together, allowing the older child to feel more connected to the new baby without feeling pushed aside by mom. But what about the practical stuff? First, there's no need to stress about whether or not you'll have enough milk to go around. Research shows that nursing moms can produce enough milk to nurse more than one child at a time. Just ask nursing moms of twins. And when it comes to tandem nursing, many moms find their problem is one of overabundance of milk, not diminished supply. In fact, your breasts will do a wonderful job of adapting to the needs of both your newborn and your tot, who, don't forget, will be nursing a lot less frequently than your newborn. Do be sure, however, to feed your newborn first, especially during the early postpartum days when your body is producing colostrum. After all, your newborn needs all those antibodies and white blood cells found in colostrum to help stimulate the production of antibodies in her own immune system. Once your milk is back up and running and bountiful, your baby doesn't always have to get first dibs. You might even find it easiest to nurse your two at the same time, though you'll have to experiment with a few different positions until you find one that works for both your baby and your older child. A double cradle, for instance, where your newborn's legs rest on your toddler, or a double football hold with your newborn propped on a pillow and your tot sitting next to you with knees pointing away. Always latch baby on first, then toddler second, or let your older child arrange himself comfortably in his favorite nursing position. And try to give baby your fuller breast, keeping in mind that your little one depends on your milk for all her nutrition, while your older child is getting most of his nutrition from solid foods and other drinks. And remember to hang in there. Tandem nursing can be tough and doubly draining for sure, but you'll find your reward when you have two pairs of eyes gazing up at you in pure bliss as you nurse your bundles of joy together. Of course, if double mommy duty is taking its toll on you, and weaning your older baby feels like the only option, don't feel guilty about it.
I'll have what he's having. Is your older child curious about and maybe a little jealous of how the nursing half eats? Then don't be surprised if your long-weaned toddler suddenly asks for a turn at baby's feeding station too. Older but still young sibs often do. Weirded out? Don't be. It's really no different from asking to have a turn being rocked like the baby, and it's definitely fueled by the same impulse. I want what he's having. Game to offer a quick nip with the hopes of nipping curiosity in the bud? Go ahead. Chances are, that's all it will take for your older child to realize that the grass isn't really greener on baby sib's side, and that the milk, if your retired nurser can even manage to extract any, doesn't taste nearly as good either. Don't feel comfortable honoring the request? Distract your tot with a just-for-big-kids snack or activity. If your toddler continues to show an interest in nursing, or if he or she objects to babies indulging, it's probably not breast milk he's craving, but a breast and a mommy to snuggle up against, along with an extra serving of that extra attention baby is always served up with meals. To give your older child what he or she is really hungry for, make breastfeeding more inclusive. Take the quiet opportunity offered by feedings to read a story, help with a puzzle, or listen to music together. Do some simultaneous snuggling, too, and be sure that your firstborn also gets plenty of hugs and cuddles when you're not feeding the baby.
A breast lump.
I've suddenly discovered a lump in my breast. It's tender and a little red.
and I'm a little worried.
As any woman who's ever discovered one knows, it's impossible to feel a lump in your breasts without feeling one in your throat. And even if you know it's probably nothing to worry about, that probably won't keep you from worrying anyway. Happily, the lump you describe is likely just a milk duct that has become clogged, causing milk to back up. The clogged area usually appears as a lump that is red and tender. Although a clogged duct itself isn't serious, it can lead to a breast infection, so it shouldn't be ignored. The best treatment is to keep milk flowing. Warm it up. Put warm compresses or a warm pack on the clogged duct before each feeding. Gently massage the duct before and during the feeding. Drain, baby, drain. Make sure the affected breast is thoroughly drained at each feed. Offer it first, assuming baby feeds from both breasts at each meal, and encourage baby to take as much milk as possible. If there still seems to be a significant amount of milk left after nursing, if you can express a stream rather than just a few drops, express the remaining milk by hand or with a breast pump. Keep the pressure off. Be sure your bra isn't too tight and your clothes aren't too constricting on the clogged duct. Rotate your nursing positions to put pressure on different ducts at each nursing. Massage it. Position baby's chin during a nursing so that it massages the clogged duct to help clear it. Or massage the lump yourself using your hands, a handheld massager or vibrator, or an electric toothbrush. Use the flat backside. Dangle feed. Try breastfeeding while leaning over baby. Put baby on the bed and lean over your little one. It might not be the most comfortable position, but the gravity could help in dislodging the plug. Sometimes milk that's left on the nipple after a nursing session can dry and crust, causing the outlet of the duct to become clogged. If milk can't flow out the duct because it's plugged up with dried milk, the duct itself can become clogged, causing a red lump. Washing the nipple with warm water can often help clear the crust and the outlet clog. Don't stop nursing. Since it's all about draining the clogged duct, now is definitely not the time to wean your baby or to cut back on nursing, which will only make the problem worse. Occasionally, in spite of best efforts, an infection can develop. If the tender area becomes increasingly painful, hard, and red, and/or if you develop a fever, call your doctor. If you want more reassurance that the lump isn't something more than a clogged duct, have it checked out by your gynecologist. Mastitis. My little guy is a chomper, but even with my nipples being cracked and sore, breastfeeding was going pretty well. Until now, one of my breasts is all of a sudden so tender and sore, worse than when my milk first came in, and I have chills. Sounds like mama has mastitis, a breast infection that can happen anytime during lactation, but is most common between the second and sixth postpartum weeks. And though he definitely didn't mean any harm, chances are your baby barracuda's aggressive feeding habits may be at least partly responsible for this painful inflammation. Mastitis usually starts when germs, often from a baby's mouth, enter a milk duct through a crack in the skin of the nipple. Since cracked nipples are more common among first-time breastfeeding moms, not surprisingly, since their nipples are tender newbies too, so is mastitis. The symptoms of mastitis include severe soreness, hardness, redness, heat, and swelling over the affected duct, with generalized chills and usually fever of about 101 degrees Fahrenheit to 102 degrees Fahrenheit, though occasionally the only symptoms are fever and fatigue. Since it's important to get prompt medical attention for mastitis, call your practitioner right away if you notice these symptoms, even if you're not sure what the cause is. You'll probably be prescribed lactation-safe antibiotics, bed rest, pain relievers, especially for before feeds, and heat applications. It's always wise to take probiotics during a course of antibiotic treatment to prevent a yeast infection from developing, though don't take the probiotics within 2 hours of the antibiotics. Nursing from the infected breast can be extremely painful, but not only is it safe for your baby to feed from it, those were probably his germs to begin with, keeping that milk flowing will prevent clogging and further problems. If your baby doesn't do a thorough job draining the breast at each feeding, empty it by hand or with a pump. Delay in treating mastitis could lead to the development of a breast abscess, the symptoms of which are excruciating, throbbing pain, swelling, tenderness, and heat in the area of the abscess, and temperature swings between 100 degrees Fahrenheit and 103 degrees Fahrenheit. Treatment generally includes antibiotics and frequently surgical drainage under local anesthesia. If you develop an abscess, feeding on that side will have to stop temporarily, though you should continue to empty it with a pump until healing is complete and nursing can resume. In the meantime, baby can continue feeds on the unaffected breast. Favoring one breast.
My baby hardly ever wants to feed on my right breast. She only seems to want the left one for some reason. And now my breasts look totally lopsided.
Some babies play favorites. It could be that your baby's more comfortable cradled in the arm you're more comfortable cradling her in, so she developed a taste for the breast on that side. Or that you got into an early habit of starting her on the left side so that your right hand was free to eat, text, or make another to-do list. Or the reverse if you're left-handed. Either way, a breast that's skimped on can soon become skimpier in size and production, which means there's less in it for baby, who then skimps on it even more. And it sounds like that's the cycle your breasts and baby are caught in. Whatever the reason, if your baby plays favorite, one of your breasts is bound to come up short, which means you're bound to end up looking pretty lopsided. Though you might try to increase production on the less favored side by pumping daily and or starting every feeding with it, it's not likely that your breast or your baby will take the bait. Typically, once a favorite, always a favorite. The lopsidedness between your breasts will even out after weaning, though a slightly bigger than normal difference may always continue. Breastfeeding when you're sick.
I think I'm coming down with a bug. Can I still breastfeed my baby without her getting sick?
Not only can't your baby catch a bug through your breast milk, she's actually less likely to catch one because of it. Breast milk doesn't carry germs, but it is packed with powerful antibodies that help your little one defend her brand new immune system from bugs of all varieties. The rest of you, however, is a different story. You can pass germs along to your baby through other contact with her, a good reason to be even more hyper about hygiene when you're sick. Wash your hands before you touch your baby or her stuff, as well as before feeds. And don't forget to cover sneezes and coughs with a tissue, not your hand. And keep the kisses away from her sweet mouth and the tiny hands that will find their way into it. To speed your own recovery, as well as to keep up your milk supply and your strength while you're down with a cold or other bug, drink extra fluids, continue taking your prenatal vitamin, eat as well as you're able, and take any opportunity you can to get some rest. Check with your doctor before you take any medication, even your standard over-the-counter or herbal remedies.
Birth control and the breastfeeding mom. Women who are breastfeeding have plenty of birth control options, from the mini pill, a progestin-only version of the pill, to progestin injections, to the IUD, to barrier methods. Discuss this with your practitioner, and for more on birth control postpartum and while breastfeeding, go to whattoexpect.com.
Breastfeeding and your period.
I just got my first postpartum period, even though I had my son only 3 months ago. Will getting my period so early have any effect on my milk or my supply?
Many breastfeeding moms do get a much longer period reprieve, sometimes a year or even longer. But almost a third get a break as brief as 3 months before their cycles reset. And that's just as normal. The start of your periods doesn't mean the end of breastfeeding or even the beginning of the end. You can expect breastfeeding business pretty much as usual, even while you have your period. Though you may notice a temporary drop in production during your period, continuing to nurse your baby frequently, particularly during the beginning of your cycle, may help give your supply the boost it needs. If not, your supply will return to normal as soon as your hormone levels do. Some extra picky babies aren't fans of the slight change in the taste breast milk can pick up when mom has her period, and may be slightly off their feed for a few days. They may nurse less often or less enthusiastically, reject one breast or both, or just be a little more fussy than usual. But that's nothing to stress about. Other babies don't miss a breastfeeding beat during mom's cycle. Another way your cycle may affect breastfeeding, you may find your nipples are more tender during ovulation, during the days before your period, or at both times.
Time to stock up on tampons? While there's no telling for sure when your menstruation vacation will end, there are some averages to consider. The earliest an exclusively breastfeeding mom might expect her period is 6 weeks postpartum, though such an early reset is rare. Up to 30% will get their first period within 3 months after delivery, just over 50% by the six-month mark, and moms who aren't exclusively breastfeeding may see a return even earlier. Still others won't be shopping for tampons until closer to the end of the first year, and a few who continue breastfeeding will be period-free well into the second year. On average, women who don't breastfeed will find themselves back on schedule sooner. The first period may occur as early as 4 weeks after delivery, though again, this is less common. 40% will resume their cycle by 6 weeks postpartum, 65% by 12 weeks, and 90% by 24 weeks. Though some moms have a sterile first cycle without an egg being released, the longer that first period is delayed, the more likely it will be a fertile one. A good case for using reliable birth control if you're not yet ready for another baby.
Exercise and nursing. Now that my baby is 6 weeks old, I'd like to go back to my workout, but I've heard exercise will make my milk taste sour. What you've heard is old news. The new improved news? Moderate to high intensity exercise, such as a cardio routine 4 or 5 times a week, doesn't turn milk sour, nor does it affect the composition of milk or the production of it. So by all means, hit the running trail, or the Peloton, or the pool. Just be careful not to overdo it, since exercising to the point of exhaustion might increase lactic acid levels enough to sour your milk. To play it extra safe, try to schedule your workout for immediately after a feeding, so that in the very unlikely event that lactic acid levels reach milk souring heights, they won't affect baby's next meal. Another advantage to exercising right after a feeding, your breasts won't be as uncomfortably full. If for some reason you can't fit in a feed before an exercise session, try to pump and store your milk ahead of time, and then feed the pre-exercise milk in a bottle when your baby is ready. And since salty milk doesn't taste any better than sour milk, if you're breastfeeding after a workout, hit the showers first, or at least wash the remnants of salty sweat off your breasts. If you exercise excessively on a regular basis, you might have trouble maintaining your milk supply. This may have more to do with persistent motion of the breasts and excessive friction of clothes against the nipples than the actual exertion of the exercise. So be sure to wear a firm sports bra made out of cotton anytime you work out. And since strenuous arm exercises can cause clogged milk ducts in some women, pump iron with caution. Finally, remember to drink water or other liquids before and after a workout to replace any fluid lost while exercising, especially during hot weather. Combining breast and bottle.
I know all about the benefits of breastfeeding, but I'm not sure I want to breastfeed my daughter exclusively. Is it possible to combine breastfeeding and formula feeding?
Full-time breasts may be best for baby, but it isn't always realistic or even possible for mama. Sometimes it's the logistics, a busy work schedule, frequent business trips, or other time-consuming obligations that make exclusive breastfeeding too much of a challenge. Sometimes it's physical, either for mom, maybe multiple breast infections, chronically cracked nipples, or supply issues have taken their toll. Or for baby, maybe she's not thriving despite mom's best efforts and the doctor's prescribed supplementary formula. And sometimes full-time breastfeeding just isn't a commitment that a mom feels comfortable taking on. Either way, there's good news. Breastfeeding isn't an all-or-nothing proposition, which means a mom who wants to breastfeed her baby but can't or doesn't want to breastfeed her exclusively can by doing the combo. Combining breast milk and formula isn't only possible, but for some moms and their babies, it provides the best of both feeding methods and is definitely better by far than giving up on breastfeeding altogether. There are important things to remember, however, if you're going to do the combo. Put off the bottle. Delay giving your baby a formula bottle until breastfeeding is established, at least 2 to 3 weeks. This way, your milk supply will be built up and your baby will be used to breastfeeding, which takes more effort, before the bottle, which takes less effort, is introduced. But if baby isn't thriving and supplementing with formula is medically necessary, putting off the bottle is not wise. Go slow. Don't switch to the combo abruptly. Instead, make the transition slowly. Introduce the first formula bottle an hour or two after a breastfeeding session, when baby's hungry but not starving. Gradually build up to more frequent bottles and decrease nursing sessions, preferably allowing a few days in between each new bottle addition until you are offering a bottle instead of a breast every other feeding or as often as you choose. Taking the slow approach to eliminating a breastfeeding session may help prevent the development of a clogged duct or a breast infection. Keep an eye on the supply. When you do begin supplementing, the decrease in demand for your breast milk may quickly result in a diminished supply. You'll need to make sure that you fit in enough breastfeeding so that your milk supply doesn't drop too much. For most women, 6 thorough breastfeeds in a 24-hour period is enough to maintain adequate milk production for a newborn. You might also need to pump occasionally to keep your milk supply up. If your baby doesn't nurse enough, or if you're not pumping to make up those missed nursings, you may find you don't have enough milk to continue breastfeeding, and the combo can backfire. Choose the right nipple. You've got the right nipples for breastfeeding. Now, choose the right one for the bottle. Pick a nipple that resembles those made by nature, one with a wide base and a slow flow. The shape of such a nipple enables your baby to form a tight seal around the base, rather than just sucking the tip. And the slow flow ensures that your baby has to work for the milk, much as she has to do
when breastfeeding. Keep in mind that some babies are pretty picky about their nipples, so you may have to experiment to find one that she'll happily accept. Choose the right formula. Ask the pediatrician which formula you should supplement with. There are many different kinds, including ones designed specifically for supplementing. They contain important nutrients found in breast milk and more prebiotics than other formulas to help keep your baby's stool soft and seedy, like a breastfeeding baby's poop.
Combo amounts. Wondering how much formula and breast milk to feed your cutie if you're doing the combo? Adapt the basic guidelines in each month's chapter, taking into account how much breastfeeding or formula feeding you're doing. You can also ask your baby's doctor for advice on amounts. Nipple confusion got you confused? Maybe you'd like to try the combo of breast and bottle. Or maybe you'd just like to introduce a bottle so you have the option of falling back on one every now and then. But you've heard that bringing on the bottle too soon or in the wrong way can cause nipple confusion, and now you're confused about how to proceed. Though some lactation consultants warn that starting a bottle before breastfeeding has been mastered may sabotage nursing, others believe that there's no such risk and no such thing as nipple confusion. And in fact, the majority of infants seem to agree, switching effortlessly between breast and bottle if the combo is started at the right time. Timing is key in introducing the bottle. Bring it on too soon, and baby may get hooked on the bottle's easy feed features and decide to reject the harder to work breast. Bring the bottle on too late in the game, and baby may already be too attached to mom's nipples to consider sampling the factory-made variety. Personality plays a part too in whether baby will go for both breast and bottle. Some babies are more flexible when it comes to feeding, as long as they get fed. Others are intractable creatures of habit. Most important, however, is perseverance. While your breastfeeding baby may well be puzzled by this unfamiliar milk dispenser at first and may even reject it repeatedly, chances are he or she will eventually take the bottle bait. When formula is necessary. You're committed to exclusive breastfeeding, but it's not working out as planned. Your milk won't come in because of a hormonal imbalance, for instance, or baby's not able to suckle effectively. And now the doctor is telling you that formula is medically necessary to adequately nourish your little baby. But you're reluctant. After all, you've heard over and over that breast is best. And of course, you want to give your baby the best. That breastfeeding isn't always easy and takes time to work out all the kinks, so of course you want to give it more time. And that supplementing with formula sabotages the chances of breastfeeding success, and of course you want breastfeeding to succeed. Completely understandable. You're feeling the way you feel for all the right reasons. And yet, there are sometimes reasons to rethink a breast-only approach, either temporarily or long-term, or to rethink breastfeeding entirely. The truth is, breast-only is best only when breast alone can nourish your baby the optimum way and in the way a newborn needs. When it isn't, supplemental or exclusive formula may be needed so your baby can thrive, and in some extreme cases, even survive. If your baby's doctor or the hospital staff has told you that supplementation is necessary to protect your baby's well-being, ask why and whether there are alternatives, such as pumping to pump up your supply or getting intensive help from a lactation consultant. In some cases, routine policy might be at the root of the recommendation. For instance, formula may be prescribed when a baby has hypoglycemia, low blood sugar, even though many experts agree that breastfeeding can help baby regulate blood sugar just as well, except when the condition is severe. If that seems to be the case with your baby, consider asking for a second opinion. But if supplementing or switching to formula turns out to be necessary, don't hesitate, and definitely don't wait to follow doctor's orders. Refusing formula that's needed for medical reasons can put your baby at risk. Do keep in mind that just because you're giving your newborn formula that's medically necessary, it doesn't mean you'll have to give up completely on breastfeeding. It's very possible you'll still be able to make it work with the combo or by relactating. Also remember, there's nothing more important than your baby's health and well-being, no matter where his or her first nourishment comes from.
relactation, or pumping up supply.
I've been feeding my 10-day-old baby both formula and breast milk since birth, but now I want to breastfeed him exclusively. Is this possible?
It won't be easy. Even this short stretch of supplementing has cut down on your supply, but it's definitely doable. The key to weaning your baby off formula will be to produce enough milk to make up the difference. Here's how you can pump up your milk supply and make a successful transition to exclusive breastfeeding. Go for empty. Because frequent draining of your breasts is critical to milk production, the more you use, the more you'll make, you'll need to drain your breasts either by nursing or pumping at least every 2.5 hours during the day and every 3 to 4 hours at night, or more on demand. Top off with the pump. Finish each nursing session with 5 to 10 minutes of pumping to ensure that your breasts are thoroughly drained, stimulating even further milk production. Either freeze the pumped milk for later use or feed it to your baby along with any supplemental formula. You can mix the two. Power pump. Power pumping boosts your milk supply by mimicking a baby's cluster feed during a growth spurt, when he feeds more frequently than usual, signaling to your body to make more milk. Find an uninterrupted hour in the day to pump on an on-off pattern. A power pump schedule might look like this. Pump for 20 minutes, rest for 10 minutes, pump for 10, rest for 10, and then pump for 10 minutes to finish the hour. Pump or nurse as usual the rest of the day. It will take a few days for your milk supply to respond to this increased demand. Some moms see an increase within 3 days, while others will need to power pump for a week before seeing results. Ease off the formula. Don't wean off formula cold turkey. Until full milk production has been established, your baby will need supplemental feedings, but offer the bottle only after breastfeeding sessions. As your milk supply increases, gradually feed less formula in each bottle. If you keep track, you should see a slow decrease in the amount of formula baby takes daily as your milk supply increases. Consider a supplementer. Using a supplemental nursing system or SNS, such as the Medela Supplemental Nursing System or the Lactaid Nursing Trainer System, may make your transition from breast and bottle to breast alone a lot smoother. While it doesn't work for every mom-baby team, and it may take a lot of practice before you and baby feel comfortable with it, an SNS is designed to help you feed your baby formula while he sucks at the breast. This way, your breasts get the stimulation they need, and your baby gets all the food he needs. Try to enlist an LC to help you get started on the SNS. Do diaper counts. Remember to keep track of your baby's wet diapers and bowel movements to make sure he's getting enough to eat. Also, keep in touch with the pediatrician for weight gain checks to make sure your baby's getting enough to eat during the transition. Possibly try medication. There are herbal options. Some lactation consultants recommend fenugreek in small amounts to stimulate milk production, or herbal tea combos like mother's milk tea, and even a medication called Reglan that may help stimulate milk production, though it's not approved by the FDA for the purposes of stimulating milk production. And there are side effects for mom and baby. But as with all herbs and medications, don't take anything to stimulate milk production without the advice of your practitioner, your baby's pediatrician, and/or a certified LC familiar with your situation. Consider CAM. Complementary and alternative therapies, such as acupuncture, may help pump up supply. Ask your LC or pediatrician for a referral to a CAM practitioner who has experience in treating moms with milk supply issues. Be patient and be supported. Relactation is a time-consuming process, and you'll need all the patience you can muster, and all the help, too. Enlist family and friends to help out with household chores and other obligations so you can focus your time and energy on your relactation campaign. An LC or advice from a La Leche League volunteer can also provide the support you'll need. Relactating will take round-the-clock effort on a mom's part for at least a few days and as long as a few weeks. But chances are that hard work will pay off. Once in a while, however, even with best efforts, relactating doesn't take, and a mom won't be able to produce enough milk to breastfeed exclusively. If that does end up being the case with you, and you end up having to bottle feed either partially or completely, don't feel guilty. Your efforts to nurse should make you proud. And remember, any breastfeeding, even for a short time, benefits your baby greatly.
Banking on milk banks. You're determined to give your new bundle nature's best, your own breast milk. But what happens if you can't, for whatever reason? Would someone else's breast milk be next best? It might be. Research shows that donated breast milk can nourish babies just as well as mother's own milk can, just as safely. Well, that depends. Though you can obtain milk through private donations, from friends or family, or through online milk share collectives, studies show that it may be unsafe for your baby, in some cases carrying infectious disease or containing harmful bacteria due to unregulated collection, storage, and shipping practices. Accredited, nationally recognized milk banks screen all donors and pasteurize milk before freezing and sending on to hospitals and families, ensuring its safety. There are a growing number of milk banks in the U.S. that operate under the strict guidelines set up by the Human Milk Banking Association of North America, HMBANA, an organization of pediatricians and other healthcare workers. You can search for one at hmbana.org/milk-bank-locations. Breastfeeding an adopted baby. Once a baby's born, there's just about nothing that a biological mother can do that an adoptive mother can't, and that even goes, to some extent, for breastfeeding. Though most adoptive moms don't end up lactating enough to breastfeed their babies exclusively, a few moms do manage to breastfeed at least partially. Breastfeeding will be possible only if the baby you are adopting is a newborn and not yet attached to bottle feeding, and if you have no medical condition, such as a history of breast surgery, that might prevent you from producing milk. Even with all those boxes ticked, however, it's important to also consider this. Establishing lactation will be extremely challenging, and even if you're serious about facing those challenges and giving your effort to breastfeed everything you've got and then some, you may not manage to reach your goal. Keep reality in mind, but if you're determined to do whatever it takes to try breastfeeding your baby, you should definitely consider going for it. Following these steps will increase your chances of success. Visit the doctor. See your gynecologist to discuss your plan and to be sure that you don't have any conditions or take any medication that will make breastfeeding especially difficult or even impossible. If your doctor isn't familiar with lactation induction, ask for a referral to one who is. Also, loop in the pediatrician. Start popping. A prenatal vitamin or supplement designed for lactation can help boost your nutritional status and get your body geared up. Get help. Contact the La Leche League for advice and to recommend a local LC who can join your support team. Consider enlisting an acupuncturist or other CAM practitioner who has experience with breastfeeding issues. Get a head start. If you know approximately when your baby will be arriving, begin priming your breasts for that momentous day. About a month or so in advance, start stimulating lactation with a breast pump, preferably a powerful double electric one. Try to pump every 2 to 3 hours during the day and twice at night, if you don't mind interrupted sleep even before your baby arrives. If you successfully produce milk before your baby arrives, bag it and freeze it for future use. Feed frequently. Once baby arrives, you'll want to nurse often, depending on the age of baby, at least every 2.5 hours during the day and every 3 to 4 hours at night for a newborn, being sure to supplement with formula so your new arrival gets the nutrition he or she needs. Stimulate while you feed. A supplemental nursing system, aka SNS, will allow your baby to stimulate your supply by suckling and at the same time get the feed he or she needs from supplementary formula. Even if baby arrives unexpectedly and you didn't have a chance to get a head start on milk production by pumping, an SNS may help you catch up without shorting your little one on nutrients. And if you don't end up making enough milk to meet your baby's needs completely, you can keep supplementing with the SNS if your baby cooperates with SNS feeding, not all will, as long as you breastfeed. Encourage letdown. If you're having trouble with milk letdown, that is, there's milk in your breasts, but it needs hormonal help making its way out, ask your doctor whether a prescription for oxytocin nasal spray might be useful. Just keep in mind that so far, the use of oxytocin for boosting letdown is a little controversial. Studies show that it isn't always effective, and some experts believe more research should be done before it can be safely recommended. Relax. Get plenty of rest, relaxation, and sleep. Even a woman who has just given birth can't produce enough milk if she's super stressed and super exhausted. Stress can also interfere with letdown, so try to do some serious relaxing before each nursing or pumping session. Don't give up too soon. A pregnant woman's body usually has 9 months to prepare for lactation. Give yours at least 2 or 3 months to get it going. You'll know your body is making milk if you feel the sensation of letdown in your breasts. But the only way to know if you're making enough milk is if your baby shows signs of adequate intake, such as contentment after feeding, wet diapers, frequent bowel movements. If it doesn't seem like you're meeting all your little one's needs, continue to use the SNS. If, in spite of all your hard work, you don't succeed at producing milk or don't produce enough to make you the sole supplier of your baby's nourishment, some biological mothers don't either, you can quit knowing you and your baby have already shared some of the important benefits of breastfeeding, or you can continue nursing for all the non-nutritive perks and pleasures it offers. Just supplement your baby's intake of breast milk, if any, with formula, either through the SNS, with a bottle, or a combination. All about keeping your milk healthy and safe.
Tired of watching your diet like an expectant hawk? Then you'll be happy to hear that compared with pregnancy, breastfeeding actually makes pretty minimal demands on your diet and your menu choices. A good reason to celebrate if you've been craving cold cuts, starving for sushi, or pining for an oaky Chardonnay. Still, as long as you're breastfeeding, you'll need to pay a certain amount of attention to what goes into you, so you can be sure that everything that goes into your baby is healthy and safe. What you eat. You may be what you eat, but your breast milk, not so much. In fact, the basic fat, protein, carbohydrate composition of human milk isn't dependent on what a mom eats at all. Even women who aren't well-fed can feed their babies well. That's because if a mother doesn't consume enough nutrients to produce milk, her body will tap its own stores to fuel milk production. That is, until those stores are depleted. But just because you can make milk on a less than adequate diet doesn't mean you should. Clearly, no matter how many nutrients your body may have stockpiled, the goal when you're nursing should never be to deplete those stores. That's too risky a proposition for your own health, short and long term. Taking nutritional shortcuts will also shortchange you on energy you'll need to keep up with the demands of new mommyhood. Flip side, you'll have more pep in your step if you have higher octane fuel in your tank. Lean protein, low-fat dairy, fresh fruits and veggies, whole grains, nuts and seeds. After 9 months of pregnancy, you know the drill. So be sure to eat, no matter how eager you are to shed weight, and to eat well. Here's another reason to keep reaching for nutritious nibbles. Your taste in food now may affect your baby's taste in food later. What you eat actually seasons your breast milk, as it did your amniotic fluid during pregnancy, affecting its flavor and smell, and acclimating your little one to whatever's on your menu. Which means that the carrots you crunch on today may have your baby reaching for carrots tomorrow. And that goes too for the curry you crave, the salsa you savor, the Thai you try. A good case for picking a wider variety of foods when you're breastfeeding, expanding your little one's culinary horizons well before his or her first bite of solids, and maybe even minimizing the potential for pickiness. Sounds far-fetched? Plenty of research backs up the booster seat benefits of a mom's varied diet while she's breastfeeding. Do strong flavors always work in your baby's favor? That depends on your baby. While most babies will slurp up breast milk no matter what it has been peppered with, and some will even relish mom's milk more if she's been hitting the pesto and scampi, there are a few whose palates are picky right from the start. They'll detect and reject even the smallest hint of garlic or strong spices. You'll quickly tell which category fits your baby, and you'll be able to modify your menu accordingly.